der Imkurs schwert bei der Imkurs. Bin der nicht in der Aber der gute Imkurs, but it's not linked to what you want to believe and what you want to believe. It's a separate input on the basis of when you are still a bit too. It must indicate to us which you are choosing to take out of the deal. Because I just need it to an input, good as it is, but it's outside the main deal. And that is in the bin now. It's a bin you write, and then original writing of the bin, and what you are proposing to yourself. This one is very helpful information, but we always add as of course the underline thing or the placketed thing that you must remove, just to ensure that it is in procedure or not. Or else we may end up with Parliament taking other views. But you are here. Can we start? We're just waiting for you to what you are from. You are from Sanderson. What is the name of Sanderson now? Is it now, for this, we must proceed with our meeting. We agreed yesterday that we are going to have this question by the department and the minister, deputy minister, Patel, and that is Apollo, she is attending the meeting in Japan. And then he requested that the PC is going to bring back from the orientation of leadership in the resolution, and we look at what are the issues, how do they compare to what we have already discussed in terms of the current plan, leadership, current plan, and see then what is the best way that we can do to take some of the food and other ways that kings and PG, they were kings there. One or two? One acting king. They are also acting king. What is the acting king? Is it the Bambel? The Richard? Is an acting king. Oh. But I think it was well attended. That's why I thought that you wanted Melham also to make an input there. What is the official opposition view on traditional leadership? And then to air their policy position and we engage on those issues. That was going to be very helpful. But I think the report is here because it has been circulated to us, and I think we must allow the DG to take us through where the areas of campus is DG will emphasize. It's a very important, was a very important gathering of the indigenous leaders. I think it's very important for us to listen to what are the issues that we are facing.
Thanks very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm going to make the opening remarks, and Ms. Mkhaladi is going to take you through the resolutions themselves. But in my introduction, I also wanted to flight the declaration that was, which was endorsed by the meeting as well. And then after that, she will then take you through the detailed resolutions in terms of what was done. The summit or Indaba took place at the time when the National when the House's terms are coming to an end, which was a little bit of a challenge, because today, the 16th of August, the National House is being disestablished. And we were supposed to be constituting a new House today, but because of challenges of some provinces in terms of their legislation and so on, will not reconstitute that now. And taking this process forward, we do not want to make you know, missteps, because we needed to work with the structures of traditional leadership, such as the National House, provincial houses, and so on. And if we ran ahead with this process with the outgoing leaders and the new ones, when they come in, we're going to have a little bit of a difficulty. So we're trying to balance the two. That is why we intend to have a follow-up dialogue to process some of the things, because this dialogue was traditional leaders, chairperson, you were there, and so on. So political parties were also invited. Those that made it, I think the ANC and IFP was able to make their input as well. And the intention was to give the traditional leaders enough time, because we've never had, over the past 23 years, we've never had the opportunity where traditional leaders' issues are really grappled with. So we gave them 5 days to say, let's dedicate 5 days so that these issues, we allowed them to air issues that have been bothering them. So some of the things from what she will be presenting as resolutions, you know, need to be processed properly, looking at the implications of everything that they're saying in relation to legislative related implications and budgetary implications, other implications relating to these things, so that they become implementable and so on. So they are not straightforward resolutions which can be implemented tomorrow. Some of them are very, very complex. Now, they are in two forms. One, as you will see, as we'll be taking, they are policy-related resolutions, especially in two major areas, land issues, which constitute the you know, the bigger part of the resolutions, and the second one is the proposed amendment to certain portions of the Constitution. So I'm going to just take you just to have a look at the declaration, which was adopted without any difficulty. This was the theme was unity in diversity, and we took this theme also from our Constitution, and together moving South Africa forward. Our Constitution talks about, you know, an inclusive approach to our dealing with all things that we need to be dealing with and so on. And then I'll just give highlights. This is the declaration, you know, giving the date there on when this happened, and I'll just go down to the issues were on land ownership, tenure rights, economic development, and there are those, a number of issues there which will be presented. The second one was on nation building and social cohesion. And as we know that without nation building, without harmony in society, you know, we cannot have stability as we should. And then the next topic was on institutional capacity and support. As we know where we are now, the institution of traditional leadership is the least supported institution, and it's understandable because there are things that are not well defined. On the one hand, we have traditional councils and we have municipalities. And municipalities, in terms of the Constitution, have legislative and executive powers to govern wall to wall, and so on. So traditional leaders, you know, in terms of Black Authorities Act of 1951, Act 68, it gave them, that's why they were called traditional authority. They had executive and legislative powers. So currently they are we see tension on the at the local space, where they feel they need to be referred to as the traditional authority. They need the powers that they had before and so on and so forth. So there are those kinds of things that we are grappling with. And then the fourth one, which is constitutional and legislative mandate. It was looking at those, the Chapter 12 and Chapter 7. Now, as you know, Chapter 7 talks about elected leadership. Chapter 12 talks about the traditional leadership and so on. Yeah. And then, yeah. So even the commissions were around these broad themes. And there's a whole range of in the next presentation. So we are going to let's move to the presentation itself. And, some of the points I wanted to make, which are my observation, is that we also need to understand why the Constitution, when it was finalized, put issues of transitional leadership at Chapter 12. There were reasons. And in terms of the interim constitution, and quite often traditional leaders refer to interim constitution, the interim constitution retained the old powers and functions of traditional leaders. It was only when it was realized before the finalization of the final constitution 96 that if we went ahead with that, there would have been an unintentional implication, in my view, of the fourth, creating the fourth sphere. And hence, the decision of Chapter 12 to limit the role of traditional leadership on customary and traditional and heritage-related issues and leave the political issues to the politicians. Lastly, there was a court case immediately after 1996, promulgation of the Constitution. Some traditional leaders went to court. The matter went to the Constitutional Court, and there was a ruling there because there was a view that certain things were not considered when the final constitution was finalized, and that the powers of traditional leaders were taken. Now, the judgment said the following, paraphrase. It says, in a republic, there cannot be, this other situation and so on. And the conclusion of the judgment was that there has to be a compromise with regard to the customary related issues and so on. So I suspect that that court judgment might have also influenced a number of other things and so on. So when this debate arises, it always helps to go back to say what made people to take a particular decision at a certain time and so on, so that as we combine all those things, then we can understand. You will see as we take you through some of the things. We have not, as the chair was there, there were those commissions, and the people were very, very particular about those sort of issues, and we captured them as they presented them. That is why we're saying they need to be further processed so that we look at various implications as well. Ms. Mukhalaji is going to take you through that.
The presentation will take you through all the resolutions. And as DG has indicated, the resolutions are still to be processed, and part of that process is to present them to the portfolio committee, as we are doing today, to brief the portfolio committee, but also to get inputs from the portfolio committee, because almost some of the resolutions, they have some implications, and they need to be analyzed so that they are implementable. We hosted the Indaba from the 28th of May to June, to the 2nd of June. The focus was on restoring the dignity of the traditional leadership in South Africa and to promote unity and diversity in pursuit of moving South Africa forward for an inclusive and prosperous future. The theme of the Indaba was unity and diversity, together moving South Africa forward for an inclusive, prosperous future. The resolutions, they cut across various departments and across the three spheres of government, within spheres, and also across the spheres. So far, we have identified the following core departments that will take the resolutions forward. Is the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, as DG indicated in his opening statement, that most of the resolutions are on land. Hence, we have identified the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. The other department that is core to implementation is the Mineral Resources Department, Small Business Development Department, Public Enterprises, Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, and the Department of Cooperative Governance. And of course, Department of Traditional Affairs will also be implementing some of the resolutions. And furthermore, most of these resolutions, they require provincial departments, like I indicated, that they cut across spheres, and also departments within the same sphere, like the national sphere. Within the national sphere, there are several departments also. And it will also be the case with the provincial sphere, where you find that different departments within the province have to implement some of the resolutions. And they are currently not processed in terms of looking at the implications, like we indicated that the resolutions that I'll be presenting is what came from the traditional leaders, but we need to process them because there will be several implications, and just to make sure that they are implementable. And we'll have a follow-up in the ISDG indicated as part of processing of the resolutions, and as the new houses are constituted, because today is the end of term of the National House, so there will be the new houses that will be constituted. We'll also have to go to take them to those houses, the new houses, as part of the processing, as part of indicating the implications to traditional leadership of implementing some of the resolutions and to come to an agreement. And because to implement them requires various institutions, even somewhere state-owned enterprises or public entities, we need a very effective coordination mechanism to coordinate all the departments and all the institutions that should be responsible for implementing some of the resolutions. And the focus areas of the Indaba were as follows. And maybe just before we go to the focus areas, just to say that part of the coordination will include us using the intergovernmental mechanisms and intergovernmental structures that we have currently. So we'll be using those structures as part of the coordination, and where necessary, if we need to establish a certain structure at administrative level, we'll also do that as part of coordination. And the focus areas of the Indaba DG highlighted that in the declaration. The first one was on land ownership, tenure rights, and economic development. The second one, nation building and social cohesion in the context of Ubuntu, institutional capacity and support. And the last one was constitutional and legislative mandate. And each of these four areas has a dedicated commission dealing with its issues. Then on the issue of land, particularly on communal land that is currently held in trust, the resolutions are as follows. It was that government should use legal processes at its disposal in consultation with communities to transfer land and register titles of all communal land that it currently holds in trust for the traditional communities without delay. A special commission should be established to deal with, amongst others, various forms of jurisdictions within communal land space and how they will impact on the transfer of communal land titles to traditional communities. Effective means of consulting with communities on the transfer, holding, administrating, and governance of land should be established. That all matters that relate to constitutional and legislation interpretation, ambiguities, and gaps should be addressed fully through the review of legislation and policy mandates. That is the review of land legislation in relation to land ownership and management. And there should be consultation with all stakeholders to reach consensus on the approach that should be taken for the 13% ownership of land. And that should lead to government or the department coming up with, we will say a government because it will be rural development, coming up with a model of governance which should be decided by the people in relation to ownership of land management and control of land. And there should be legislation and proclamations for the transfer of the 13% of land to traditional communities within a two-year period. And furthermore, on the resolutions on land transfer, they resolved that a land summit of various landholders and other key stakeholders to thresh out an inclusive sharing model for equitable sharing of the 87% of the land, that should be fast-tracked. And on special planning and land use management, they resolved that a task team to work on a uniform model for traditional communities across the country based on the Limpopo model should be constituted. The Limpopo model, this was what the Minister for Rural Development and Land Reform talked about, that there's a model that is working and working very well in Limpopo. And there should also be participation of traditional leadership, active participation in the mini interministerial committees on SPLUMA. And the resolutions in relation to radical economic development in traditional communities are as follows, that there should be support for the work and will approach. This is also what was presented by the Minister for Rural Development and Land Reform. And this particular approach, it deals with the following, or it is as follows. Having dealt with the restitution process, the focus shifted to redistribution as part of the tenure system, which is seen as an approach for radical socioeconomic development. The use it or lose it approach should apply. Access land for productive use, 1 hectare, 1 household model. The identification of commodities and development of full value chain for replication and full participation by the majority, and which will culminate into the AgriParks model, or the AgriParks is part of that, is an example of that. And still on radical economic development in traditional communities, they resolved that there should be review of the existing contracts with traditional leadership in favor of beneficiation and radical socioeconomic transformation. There should be consultation with the traditional communities or with communities under the leadership of traditional leaders as a prerequisite for radical socioeconomic development opportunities, and that everything with a bearing on the livelihood of communities under traditional leadership must be referred to the institutions of traditional leadership. That is your houses, your traditional councils, king's councils, queen's councils, and other traditional leadership structures. They also resolved on the same issue of radical economic development, that the role of the sector must be explicit on radical socioeconomic transformation to ensure beneficiation, and that traditional leadership is central to the economic development of communities. To emulate the Royal Bafokeng model that contributes effectively to economic development of traditional communities, to have a resource bank to establish a resource bank that will assist traditional communities, the National House and the Department of Traditional Affairs should develop a partnership model and oversee its implementation. And that was termed the foundation-to-foundation model. And there should be an establishment of a traditional leaders company. Here is so that they work together as traditional leaders towards a radical economic development rather than working as individuals. So it was so that they tapped into the strengths of each other. And on institutional capacity and support, they resolved as follows, that in terms of establishing an ideal traditional council or an traditional authority, as they want it to be called, that the following should be the case in terms of capacitating the institution, that the traditional council should be changed to a traditional authority as provided for in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, as DG indicated why they want to move from council, traditional council, to traditional authority, to get back those powers that they had before. And then the 60%, 40% formula for the constitution of traditional authority, it must be reviewed so that it is traditional leadership should take full control rather than the 60-40. And the advisors and researchers must be shared amongst traditional authorities within the district. That is, we should capacitate the traditional council so that it has advisors on technical things and all the other things that they will be doing as a traditional authority, and they must be researchers as well. And there should be an adequate allocated budget. They proposed that 5 million baseline budget for each in order to capacitate the structure, or all the structures of traditional leadership, and that government should provide adequate budget to enable the traditional authority to appoint adequate personnel. That this links to the previous one of appointment of researchers and advisors for the structure at that level, or structures of traditional leadership, and that relevant government departments should ensure that they establish that the established lodges, cultural villages, and built with public funds within their communities must be maintained and supported by government, and that government should look at the best practices in this regard and share them across the country. That the above resolutions must also apply to all the other structures, the Queen's Councils and Principal Traditional Leadership Councils. And in relation to now the capacity building for individual traditional leaders, there must be a skills audit for the institution, including the houses, TCs, members of all the traditional leadership structures. There must be a skills audit. And the LGC, the National House, and the Department of Traditional Affairs must work together to develop training programs for members of the houses. And traditional leaders must be included in the induction program and other programs conducted by municipal councils, and all COFTA departments must commit funds to support the training for traditional leaders. The training programs must be tailor-made to build responsible and exemplary traditional leadership and future heirs. Traditional leaders must have access to bazaars. And on the area of social cohesion and nation building, the following are the resolutions: to accelerate the statutory recognition and participation of traditional Khoi and San leaders in government programs, to promote nation building harmony and peace amongst our people in their diverse forms, promote the principles of cooperative governance in our interactions with all spheres of government. That is traditional leadership interactions with spheres of government and organs of state, to harmonize relationships between the institution of traditional leadership, government, communities, and the other sectors, to foster continuous engagement between executive authorities in all spheres of government and traditional leadership structures, and to strengthen the participation of traditional leaders in municipal councils and other governance structures across the three spheres of government, to eliminate the cultural practices that violate legislative rights of individuals, especially women and children and communities, to promote an efficient, effective, and fair dispute resolution system, and a fair system of administration of justice as envisaged in applicable legislation, to promote freedom, human dignity, and the achievement of equality and non-sexism, and to establish regional continental relations through the National House of Traditional Leaders. And on the area of constitutional and legislative mandate, they resolved that there should be reconstitution of all structures of traditional leadership, that government should ensure the establishment of the Ministry for Traditional Affairs, that there should be review, government should review the legislative status of royal families, and ensure that the National Department of Traditional Affairs gives effect to uniform implementation of legislative frameworks by provincial governments, that government should ensure that there is further engagement on policy-making processes regarding the Traditional Courts Bill, and ensure that government commissions the compilation of African customary law. And in terms of the recommendations from the INDAWA, is that the independent remuneration for public office bearers must be familiar with the core responsibilities of traditional leadership in order to recommend remuneration scales based on their functions rather than on the living standards of their subjects. Previous documents sent to the Commission must be used as reference. Section 32, 8 of 2016, the Gazette, that reflects basically on traditional leadership must be withdrawn. A traditional leadership delegation composed of the members of houses must meet the Treasury to make effective inputs on budgetary processes that affect traditional leadership. The COFTA minister must facilitate a meeting amongst the deputy president, the minister of finance, and the delegation of traditional leaders led by the national house within 30 days to resolve these issues. The national house must be represented in the commission for the independent commission for remuneration of public office bearers in order to make inputs. There must be a political will from government to ensure that all recommendations of the Indaba are implemented. Traditional leaders must be accommodated in a pension and medical aid schemes suitable for public office bearers. In this regard, the DTA must update the National House of Traditional Leaders on the reports of the 2008 and 2009 on the determination of remuneration and benefits for traditional leadership within 30 days. Official palaces for kings, queens, principal, traditional leaders, and senior traditional leaders. The following were recommended in this regard: that the Department of Public Works must take the responsibility for the building of the official palaces of kings, queens, and principal traditional leaders, as well as senior traditional leaders, and the maintenance of those palaces. The transfer of ownership of official palaces from one leader to another must be governed in terms of the customary law of the community in question. The Free State model must be considered in this regard. Where applicable, senior traditional leaders must report to the queens, and headmen to senior traditional leaders. So there they were recommending a reporting model within the institution. On the funding model for the Institution of Traditional Leadership, they recommended that the Department of Traditional Affairs must develop this funding model for the institution along the lines of the municipal infrastructure grant allocation. On the remuneration of traditional leaders, they recommended that kings and queens must get an entry-level remuneration of 1.5 million. On principal traditional leaders, it should be 1.2 million, 242,408. The senior traditional leaders, it should be 940,680 per annum. The headman, it should be 519,261 per annum. Government and royal family must ensure that the replacement of traditional leaders who have passed on must be expedited in order to ensure continued income to the family. Where applicable, senior traditional leaders must report to kings, queens, and headmen. I think that is repeating the previous one. Pensions for traditional leaders, a special pension fund must be established for traditional leaders. As I indicated from the beginning, we are still processing these resolutions, checking the implications of each, and part of that is us presenting to the Portfolio Committee today, and we are recommending that the Portfolio Committee, you note the presentation, but you also provide the inputs in some of these resolutions so that we consider them when we do the analysis of each recommendation and the processing to come up with the final one. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the presentation. This is a resolution from Indaba we attended. Bob Tugo, you're not there at the time. Report now. What's the option? Okay. Melham and Honorable Mthethwa, you wanted to raise some issues up to it. Melham, what do you want us to do?
Chair, before we go any further, can I just get a clarity? What is changed since we last saw this presentation, which was a month ago or 6 weeks ago? Has anything changed? Before I ask any questions, I mean, I just want to get clarity. We had a presentation downstairs.
That actual decision was the, what do you call this declaration?
But I mean,
They're not resolutions. Well, the declaration.
But there were resolutions in that declaration.
No, they were capturing some, but not the way all of them were captured.
Okay.
That's a declaration. A broad statement of intent.
All right, Chair, then let me ask this, because I asked it at that meeting, and I'm going to ask it again. Does the Department of Traditional Affairs support the implementation of these resolutions? Because there are resolutions here that are constitutionally impossible. So why are we pushing forward with them? Why are we, you know, we need to start with a screening process and say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. It's not allowed. The Constitution says you can't do this. Now, the DG was quite right that in 1951, the Black Authorities Act gave certain powers to traditional leaders. The problem is that was the apartheid regime's control mechanism of rural communities. And what the traditional leaders now seem to be doing is clinging to an apartheid model of governance. That's the first point. The second point is that we need to recognize that we are in a constitutional democracy and that governance resides in the national government, provincial government, and local government. That there is no governance role for traditional leaders. And the Constitution has spelled it out very clearly. It says that they have traditional, cultural, heritage, linguistic, etc. responsibilities. But there's no mention of governance. They don't have any role in putting in sewage pipes or building a road or making sure that there's water or electricity or anything like that. That is the role of the municipalities. So given all of that, I'm really interested in the department, and I'm speaking specifically the Department of Traditional Affairs, position on this indaba. In other words, do you agree with this or don't you? It looks like this is a list of demands. We want more money, we want the land, we want a company that we can be shareholders in, we want bursaries for traditional leaders, we want 5 million rand for every traditional council. How many traditional councils are there? 1,000? 800. Oh, the other thing was, 5 million times 800 is 40 billion rand. Am I right? I think it's 40 billion rand. Where are we going to find this kind of money? The other thing that I wanted to know is, how many Khoisan attended this? Any? Did we have Khoisan representation? Okay. Because I don't see anything here about the Khoisan position. I don't see any input onto the proposed TKLB. There's nothing about that here, which I would have thought would have been the main thrust of this indaba. All it looks like is we want this, we want that, we want the next thing, and we want it now, and we want this department to make sure that rural development comes on board, that mineral resources comes on board, etc., etc. And I really can't support that. I think that we need to have a much clearer policy position as to what is the role of a traditional leader and what their kind of function is in the greater governance framework. Because, I'm sorry, this to me is opening the door for all sorts of problems. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Minister.
Thanks, Chair. I think the background itself for the indaba, Chair, had a problem on its own to say that they are restoring their dignity.
For me, it was, I thought the Indaba will discuss their role in the new dispensation. Because I think the traditional leader would have been focused if they were going to discuss that, only that. What is their role before they raise all sorts of disgrievances? Now, when they said we were restoring your dignity, that's why they start to demand the palaces, demand money, budget. And they also contradict themselves. I'm happy that you say these issues need to be refined. And my second chair question is that, are they negotiable on these issues? Or is it straight up issues for the department to go and swallow and come back, and when are they implementing it? And what informs this program of them, where in other issues they are so choosy, when they want money, they want that to be implemented within a month. When they want palaces, they want that for 2 years, within 2 years. But on issues that, you know, on governance issues, they said the government must come back on this matter. Come back, they know time frame. What is it that they, or what parameter they were using to testify this thing? This must be the criteria that they're using. This must be tomorrow, this must be next day, this must be next day. Because they were so selective. I'm sorry if because I was not part of that meeting, but I think they were choosing the butter, the bread where it is butter, more than really discussing these issues. Melam has asked the question of the Koyan fund, because are they also considering that we are dealing with the issue of the Koyan fund? I know we have been dealing with public hearing and stuff. Is it clicking in their mind that it is going to also have a major impact when those coins then is on, when they come on board? Are they considering that, or they still think that they are alone on the field? They can do as they wish. When that time comes, let government start afresh everything. But for now, they are there. And also, Chair, I know that we are now in August. We have not implemented mostly all what was supposed to be done in the past 6 years. What is their view? Were they also expecting that they need to be dissolved, or they think that process is just the a process is not important? I think also, I would also appreciate the department, now that this shopping list is here with us, the department to start to select issues where they think it's possible to engage on it, that it makes sense to them, and issues that really it's a no-go area. Not by the committee, because the committee, I don't like a situation to say, look, we raised this thing with the department, they were with us, maybe they sympathize with us. Here comes the committee now and refers everything and say, that committee, that Indaba was useless. We don't want to go to that line. But if the department can also streamline some of the issues that really, in terms of the act, because they've got all the capacity to get the advisors, pulling all other documents that that was used in the past to ensure that everything is according to the act. We take aside all those things that is not supposed to be there. Before referred to this motion of the Mpompo motion, community motion, I think as a committee chair, this one as well, we need to go and see some of this. Because they are talking above our heads. Some of these things we don't know. And also we need to take an international study and see how the traditional leaders have been integrated in a country like ours. So some of these things, we're just reading in newspapers, and this report, when it comes like this, we don't have some practical experience. So the issue of the model that they are referring on, I think it should be the last thing to look into it, but we will appreciate if we can get that information. of those models that they were referring, the Mpompo one, the one in also Bafokeng. Maybe we have been reading the bad part of the Bafokeng, but if there is a good out of that one, because the community, they were not happy about some of the things that is done through the mines and themselves. We would like to see what exactly, what are they picking on, if they can explain to us. These are the issues that in the Limpopo we want, these are the issues in the Bafokeng, and tell us why the other not adopting the other document of them, so that it can assist us before their demand of bursaries and Lanzuka and palace and remuneration of office bearers or public office bearers of them. Those things, Chair, it has got to assist now. But I wonder if there are still negotiations on these matters, or is it done and deal, take and go and leave. If it's not being accepted, what are they prepared to do? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think in principle, we all of us, we have a duty to support our traditional leaders. We have a duty, and where there are gaps and weaknesses, we must put effort to correct that. We must also not forget the background where we are coming from. That some of these traditional leaders were abused, were done sort of things, you know, and we must never forget that. Now, the question here in general, the question of land, which as majority of Africans, black in particular, we have not accessed that. I think that one is a fact, because when you talk about 13%, that they are still to be transferred, you know, what about the other percentage and so on. Now, the question of demand, because it looks like it's a demand for traditional leaders. But for me, I will differ. They are trying to express their needs. That's why I'm saying when I'm started that it's our duty to guide them, to particularly the national the Department of COP national. They must ensure that they must come up with programs. Indaba, it's a very good initiative, because it allow individual traditional council and so on to express their views. Whether for what they are saying is contrary with the constitution, it's not the policy matter and so on, we must guide them. We must guide them. Because for us to say, no, you can't demand this and this and this, you must remember, the majority of these traditional leaders, they are illiterate. They never go to school. Must understand that. Now, when you take the matters that relate to the traditional leaders, you must take into cognizance the level of understanding that the majority of these traditional leaders, our leaders, have not get an opportunity to go to school. So in most cases, some of the things that they are going to express are the things that might find that they are contrary to the constitution and so on, but we must guide them. I think the challenge to the next Indaba, that must be clarified. That's the question of, because there's a demarcation thing, that's a wall to wall. I think DG has highlighted that. You find that the municipality have got two portions of land, or different land. There are land that is administered by the municipality, there's a land that is administered by the traditional leaders. And it's a problem. Because the people who reside on the traditional leaders' land, they're not paying rates,
even their houses are not being evaluated, their borders and so on and so on. But on the other hand, where this land belongs to the municipality, you know, those people have got their benefiting, because if you build the houses there, they come the evaluator, evaluating it, you know, and so on and so on. Now, we need to start there. Secondly, to clarify the issue of this, because there are those traditional leaders who are still demanding tax from the people in the form of, yes. You must clarify that. Because now, on the other hand, we're saying our municipalities, they don't have, they're not financially sustainable, that depending on the MIG, you know, they're not, you know, all those things. That's the main problem for this. I think also they need to be clarified. Before Monday we come to this recommendation and so on, must clarify that. And also concerning on their role as the custodian of the traditional thing, you know, they must tell us, you know, what problems do they have, you know, in terms of Kulusawaitombi intervening, you know, in marriages, because there are marriages, you know, with the traditional marriages, you know. Because if you can look nowadays, there are a backlog in courts, divorce, for example. But on the other hand, in most areas of the traditional leaders, problems are being solved and so on. And that's where the traditional leaders came in, you know, and say, no man, do this and all those things. So they must have a clear program. What is it that they are doing for their function and as a custodian of their customary law and so on? That is through the initiations and so on and so on. Yeah, all those for now.
I will start and then the team will come in. I wanted to start at a very high level to say the issues posed at this dialogue, the reason why political parties were invited, it is because there are policy-related issues that have not been resolved from, you know, democratic South Africa. They cannot be solved administratively. And the department cannot, now, the starting point is not at the department level. Starting point is resolving these issues at political level and so on. So the specific questions of has anything changed and so on. In my opening remarks, I did indicate that we could have engaged the current, some work has been done, Dr. Makalan Cheche here, and his team, there's been some engagement with the House looking at these resolutions, and there have been certain processes, but in my view, they are not worth reporting to you, because there was this concern that, you know, maybe let me put it, traditional leaders also, from the time of the dialogue and so on, they were campaigning, because they campaigned for elections, for new leadership. Very, very robust engagement. Those that want to be elected to come to National House, so their attention would not have been sufficiently. It always helps, you know, to wait for the new leadership, because when we have induction, we'll also be dealing with these issues and so on. And then the second thing is, what is the position of the department? We cannot have a position. There are political issues here. We cannot have a position as a department. We are just as a department, you know, we can be guided by political issues when they are resolved. And it is true, many of these, in my opening remarks earlier, I said many of these resolutions are not implementable. And why we did not intervene at the point when they were raised. You know, firstly, you know, as a department, we felt that that was their opportunity. They were supposed to be grappling with the politicians, all political parties that were invited to be able to give direction in terms of some of those things. And then because our role is to implement, but I gave you my views earlier to say, from where I'm sitting, many of these things are not implementable. And that is why we are saying they must be taken, you rightfully, they must be taken through a filter. Now, that filter will not be filtering, you know, because they are being undermined and this and that. There are a whole range of unconstitutional, some of the stuff, as you rightly pointed out. We need to be categorizing that and so on. What we have done as a department, we have developed the program of action, and which was also presented at MINMAC, but, you know, we're not at the point where we can bring some of those things to yourselves, because it's a joint process that we wanted to do with the National House, Chairperson Forum, and ourselves. Some of the things, for example, we want to lift things that are quick wins, low-hanging fruit, which are genuine. And as you know, the budget for goods and services in the Department of Traditional Affairs is only $29 million, which is dedicated for the current program, which must be delivered. A number of some of the things here are consumption things, of salaries and stuff like that. And we still need to engage Treasury and those types of things. So we are looking at what are those things that can be delivered now, low-hanging fruit, and what are those things that are medium-term to long-term and so on. And then they're clinging to all powers. There is this psychology term, postpartum. Postpartum means, you know, you give birth. A woman gives birth to a child, and after giving birth, the woman hates the child, wants even to kill the child. They want to remove the child. That's postpartum. In other words, you know, after the birth of democracy, you know, there is something that has happened there, which also includes what I call hangover issue, the hangover of the past, and so on, not being able to say, how do we locate ourselves without getting, as you rightfully, Honorable, to the rightfully pointed out, without losing the substance of the heritage, the rich heritage and the wealth of that, and so forth and so forth. And because the issue of, it was emphasized that we no longer want to be traditional council, we want to be authority. Now, you will see the other commission was resolving, as you rightfully pointed out, a contrary position, which was saying there must be reconstitution. Now, reconstitution means you change from traditional authority, which did not take into account gender issues, which did not take into account community, the 40% of community people that are elected to participate in that, and so on. Now, when you talk about authority, it means then you must have the power fully fleshed as they were, which are those. I mean, those are policy issues that need to. And then resolutions seem to be formulated in a demand form fashion. I mean, the chair was there. If you were there presenting and so on, they were saying this must be done. And understandably so, on this ground, on this ground, for the past 20 years, traditional leaders have been saying, let dialogue. And we seem not to have been listening to them. And we got to a point where these issues that they've been raising nicely are coming up in the form in which they are coming, and so on. Remember, the Constitution says traditional leaders are public office bearers. That's in the Constitution. When it comes to remuneration, we're not remunerating them according to how other public office bearers are supposed to be remunerated, and those kinds of things, which are currently, you know, contradictions that we see. And then the Khoisan issues. we invited as many questions as possible. Close to 20 or something. They were invited, and a number of them, led by the chair of the Khoisan Council, Mr. Lefier, they attended. And it is very clear that they might have been dominated there, where they were not able to articulate their issue. I think it's a good point that these things seem to be focusing on African traditional leaders, the resolution. However, my view is the Khoisan leaders, when they get recognized, they will become traditional leaders, because there will be no other terminology. As traditional leaders, the things that are being articulated, they will then be part of that kind of outfit, the new outfit, and so on. And then the much more clearer position on these issues, of course, there's got to be much more clearer political position on these issues. And those clearer political positions will guide the different departments as they implement on what. Honorable Mthethwa Indaba, very, very correct. The issues that were supposed to be discussed were supposed to be their role rather than the restoration issue, their role in democracy. There is this saying, one author talks about, the alligators snipping the heels. In other words, that author is saying, when there is bleeding, you can talk about the beautiful future. You've got to stop the bleeding. Now, what is the bleeding? The bleeding are bread and butter issues that they will always keep coming up, even if we're talking about, other issues related to that and so on. Unfortunately, this, every time there will be this sort of things coming that way. However, I fully, fully agree that a fundamental thing was, how do they see their role? For example, in the resolutions on the legislative one, I didn't see, Dr. Mohamed, on the slide, I didn't see there are those very crucial sections of the Constitution where they want amendments. One is Chapter 12 of the Constitution. I didn't see it on the slide. And the second is the amendment of Chapter 12, or Chapter 7. If I were to delve a little bit on that, Chapter 12 says the institution is recognized in terms of, their role and their status, particularly on customary-related issues. Any other provision in the Constitution says subject to Chapter 12. Any other thing elsewhere in the subject. Now, Chapter 12 is talking about customary-related issues. Dispute resolution is part of that. Now, however, my observation is as follows. Number one, there are issues that have been packaged in a particular way. For example, Indigenous Knowledge System. It's with Science, Department of Science and Technology. It's not in one place. Issues of heritage are with Department of Arts and Culture. National Heritage Council in that area. Issues of indigenous languages with other culture under PENSA. And so comprehensive rural development is with the Department of Rural Development. And we are called the Department of Traditional Affairs. We are responsible for one affair, which is leadership. The other affairs are all over the place. Now, I always talk about, if we had a full house of affairs, as we are called traditional affairs, issues of heritage, issues of indigenous knowledge system, and all those kinds of things, and so on. When the department was established, we were asked to say, can we go and look at the mandate of the Department of Traditional Affairs? We came with five pillars that underpin these affairs, because we're saying, if it is Department of Traditional Affairs, which are those affairs? One affair was leadership. The other affair was culture. Now, culture is not with us. It's with the Department of Arts and Culture. Now, within culture, you have spirituality, because culture is the way people do things, the way people worship, the way people deal with their legal things, the way people, and then the next administration of justice. Traditional court bill is administered by Department of Justice and so on, so on. So in my view, there is a case, you know, maybe on Chapter 12, those things that must be brought in one house. Now, when I look at Chapter 7, it talks about, it says that municipality is supposed to govern wall to wall. Legislative and executive powers are vested with the municipal council. That is why the DORA, Division of Revenue, channel the money, because the municipality must deliver services and the economic, all those kinds of related things like that. And, you know, so I'm just saying that, you know, there are these issues that on the role. Now, the pieces of legislation articulate the roles very clearly, even though the Constitution also goes further to say there must be further legislation that clarifies their role. And then Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, Section 4, Subsection A to L, spells out what are those roles of the traditional councils, you know, taking the needs of the traditional community to municipalities through the IDP process, the discussion we had yesterday. And then also facilitating, supporting the municipalities. Now, research that has been conducted all over Africa where you have traditional leadership, it points to the fact that traditional leaders are very good in dispute resolution and, you know, those related things like that and so on. So those things are well catered for, but it is the issue of postpartum that I talked about in the handover of the past that we used to be governing this space. And we used to be in charge of bylaws. And, you know, that was during the apartheid time. There is a republic now. Now, in the republic, what is required at political level is to say, understanding that there is a, no doubt that there's a critical role for this institution in a democratic state. There are various authors that have written on mixed government in mixed government, proposing how this mixed government can be done. White paper on local government proposes various models and modeling and so on and so on. So it's some of those things. And then, are these issues negotiable? When I was sitting there, every day behind the scenes, we were managing some other issues. I don't think, even if they are not negotiable. I think the issue is there must be further engagement. That was the first one, because we have never dealt with it over the past 23 years. Now, on the first, when these things come out, they would come out in that manner. However, I said in my opening remarks that there will be further engagement. And as we have further engagement, as the department, we're going to package some of the things and also show some implications, as Honorable Dube has indicated that, you know, there's got to be that guidance and so on. So we will be indicating that this seems to be having this implication and this seems to be like that and that, and we think that these are things that we could do to assist that situation. And then your question of saying how did they arrive in some of these things. These are things that have been repeated over and over again over the years to say, you know, when was it, 3 years ago or so, 4 years ago, we came to the portfolio committee and the deputy chair of the house was also there, and the portfolio committee was looking at the tools of trade for traditional leaders. And then the media, you know, then wrote a headline to say traditional leaders want this, which was out of context because they were merely articulating the issue of saying, as public office bearers, there has to be. So I believe that through engagement and there will be this issue of finding each other, because there is the issue of self-reliance. That self-reliance, if, for example, agriculture, Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, and so on, and various other, we have already started with the process of agri-parks and various. If those things could be, you know, we could consolidate and pull them together. And, you know, traditional councils perhaps are supported to lead those things instead of paying the salaries, the point I made yesterday, instead of paying salaries and so on. You know, it will change the whole, it may change the whole thing. And the Litsima concept that Honorable Masondo also raised yesterday. And to undertake a study. Oh, yes, the modeling. It is true that my view is that if the portfolio committee could have the opportunity to also look at other models, and that this model in Royal Bafokeng, we did with the team, we visited Royal Bafokeng, we spent a day, and when we came out, I thought, you know, it was one of the best models. Maybe the example Honorable Mtetwa is giving is the other one. The Pilane site. The Royal Bafokeng, you know, their structure, community, whatnot, their vision, and so on, is quite an impressive kind of a model. So a place like Ghana, you know, it would be interesting if you could visit them. When I visited there, obviously you'll have to understand that you need to process when you get there. Yeah. Yes, you go to Kahlela. So when we got there, I had to Kahlela and so on. So they had to tell me what is this. So out of my own pocket, you know, I tried something, Kahlela, and so on. But, you know, it was such a pleasure to talk to them. They don't have these issues we're talking about. Not at all. I tried to push it, to ask. They said, no, we learn our own thing. And the difference is that the land belongs to them, but held in trust by government. Whenever developments take place in the land, you know, certain percentages go to the community, and some of it goes to the chief. Yes. So they even told me the percentage. They say for the upkeep of the king, chiefs and paramount chiefs there and so on. So the different models can also assist so that we arrive at a particular point and so on. The Limpopo model, I think when Minister Mbinti was talking about, he was talking about something on land related issues. I don't know it myself, but maybe it will be helpful to also to look at it and so on. But as for the Spluma, because one of the resolutions may not be captured there, it was there, they said it must be suspended. And previously, we tried as the Department of Traditional Affairs to ask the chair and deputy of the National House and also Rural Development to engage. And it was pointing back to our department, to our ministry, because Spluma says, I think it's Section 2, I can't remember very well. But there's a section that says, because Section 81 of the Municipal Structures Act says that traditional leaders are participating already in the council. And when there's a piece of land in communal areas, traditional leaders are sitting in those municipal councils. They are part and parcel of that decision. And it further says that when they want to deal with an area, they consult the traditional leader in that area. So we dealt with that, but the traditional leaders were not happy. And what we did, there is a new development. And the new development is that the functions of SPLUMA are being relocated to Department of Planning and Monitoring and Evaluation. And some of it will come to COCRA. And I think it makes a lot of sense that because we'll be able to manage those issues in that sense and so on. So, and then Honorable Dube, definitely these issues have to be addressed. At times we can bury our heads in the sand. There are genuine things that need to be done. And if you go back to 1884 in Belgium and so on, then you will understand why Amakosi, I think the most crucial issue is for us to find a way of blending modernity with tradition. And the white paper on local government, you know, give some issues there to say these are the different models that we would consider. And maybe if they are considered effectively, we could be able to get somewhere. If I have left something, Honorable Chair, I'll ask Dr. Mohsen Cheche and Ms. Mukhalari to
thank you.
From my side, I don't have anything to add. I think DJ has dealt with all the issues.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. The DG has handled all the questions that were posed by members of the Portfolio Committee. However, I just wanted to indicate that we were frank and open in terms of the presentation that we made, indicating the resolutions that were taken at the Indaba. We did not try to sift. We actually said, let us come and present the resolutions as they were taken in that Indaba. Now, these questions are actually also an eye-opener, DG, going back to say this process that we are undertaking now is actually going to assist even the questions that have been asked now. Remember, we are in that environment almost, I can say, on a permanent basis. We need to face the situation as it is, and then also take into consideration your questions and also the direction that you are trying to indicate to us. And then also to say, in terms of perhaps even the wedding, in terms of there is a slogan in Water and Sanitation Department which says water is life and sanitation is dignity. And the reason why we are saying we are restoring that dignity, when we try to clarify these roles, we are actually saying to the traditional leaders as part of the educational mobilization. Because remember, as you educate, you learn a lot. Sometimes we think they are limited in terms of their understanding of the Constitution, only to find that they are also having something that they want to share with us as traditional leaders that we might be lacking on. So we really appreciate through DG, as he has indicated, to say these resolutions and our engagement with the Portfolio Committee is actually also assisting us to say, as we engage further with the traditional leaders, with the what appears to be list of demands. Remember, we are hearing this on a minute-to-minute basis whenever we're with them. And then we have been hearing this for quite some time. And then it's just unfortunate that we had delayed the Indaba because it's been on the radar for quite some years. But for the first time that we have organized this, we have had this, and then we have to deal with them the way. And then we are still more than prepared to go and process them further. And then you'll always be informed. And then, like the DG has recommended, that perhaps the Portfolio Committee visit these areas to see the models that we are talking about. And then this will actually, and I like the questions about the constitutionality of the democracy wherein we are, to say Chapter 7 and Chapter 12 are very clear. And then we are actually enlisting your support in terms of how then do we have this institution and we have those provisions in the Constitution. How then do we navigate going forward? We are there to support. And we are there to be supported so that we can actually have one inclusive country with everybody benefiting out of whatever is there in this country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Just a very quick follow-up. The DG spoke about the white paper on local government and its comments on traditional leadership. Now, that's in section 4 of the white paper of local government, and it's a very comprehensive section, but it's 20 years old. It was written in 1997-1998. Has there been any efforts to update that? And if not, why has it not been implemented over the last 20-odd years, 19 years? It seems to me that it outlines a model that should be implemented, and yet there are these tensions that you spoke about, DG, that arise because it hasn't been implemented or hasn't been implemented properly. And is that a fault of the legislation, or is it a fault of policy, or what is the underlying cause of that tension?
Let me start with the last one, Honourable Mellon. No, it's true. It is several years now, from 1998 up to now. Some elements have been infused in the Traditional and Governance Framework Act in 2003. Some elements. For example, Section 81 of the Municipal Structures Act was trying to bring this together and so on. But, the spirit of the white paper was a good spirit. And what we need to do is to look at what is it that is not working. For example, the participation of traditional leaders in the municipal councils. They have been complaining over the years about several things and so on. And in the bill that is before yourselves, we have tried to make those adjustments and those related things and so on. But there are other elements that I don't think have been fully implemented. So as we go forward now, there are those things that we can pull out of that in terms of the model, because they were looking at a model. White paper talks about the model ranging from making these traditional authorities, making them, giving them the powers like in the past so that they rule, and to where they participate in a particular way. Let me give you an example. One of Tetwa was asking how other, I think it's Angola, we had a queen visiting us 2-3 years ago. In Angola, what they do, in the locality where you have traditional leaders, when there are campaigns, people campaigning and so on, traditional leaders also campaign. And so there's no duality. One person, if he's a traditional leader who comes up, then that traditional leader then becomes the mayor of that place. Now, there are also, if that traditional leader is not delivering, they remove the traditional leader, they march and remove the traditional leader, and so on. So they went further to say they also look at certain qualities, not somebody that is articulate, somebody that will be. So there is that kind of model there in terms of what they are saying. However, if you look at Botswana, we've looked at Botswana, we've looked at Zimbabwe, we've looked at Ghana as well, the three. And these countries are facing the same challenges that we're facing. But there, I think Zimbabwe has allocated certain functions that may be considered. Is it with Ghana? Yeah, Ghana is given allocated, for example, in terms of their traditional courts. It is amazing that they say you can appeal when you've gone through those structures. And when I was asking why, government assigns prosecutors to those traditional counsels. The cases are processed properly. I think they also make a distinction. I mean, if you've murdered somebody, you can't go through this. You go through the other processes, but civil disputes and those kinds of things, and so on. So they were telling us that it works pretty well, and so on. And I think it's the Botswana where the traditional leaders are responsible for indigenous trees, indigenous species, to make sure that. Yes, the foreign species and what have you, and those kinds of, because, as you know, indigenous trees link to spirituality and, all those related things. I'm told that it was something like that was raised in the past with the National House, former National House, and they said, hey, do you want us to be responsible for trees? We want to be in the mainstream. We're not going to be in that. And so the issue of a need for another endeavor, which is these issues, as we have said, it is important that there is another endeavor that takes these things forward. And we also need to have patience, because our constitution says unity in diversity. So even if there are difficulties, there must be that issue of inclusivity, in terms of these issues. And then the issue of levies. The reason why there will be those levies, those difficulties, it is unconstitutional for traditional leaders to collect levies now, because, they don't have those powers to do this. It was applicable in the past, but we do have instances here and there. There was a court case in Limpopo. We decided to abide, because we knew that it's unconstitutional. In our framework, the Framework Act, there's a section that was accommodating it in a particular way. In the amendment, we dropped that, because we know it's unconstitutional to have something like that. What I like is Honorable Mthethwa's point that let traditional leaders define themselves. I've challenged traditional leaders, in different platforms to say, we cannot define it for you. When we talk about change begins from within, we can't define it for you. Start defining yourself in relation to this, but that definition must not be in the context of politics. Because as they start defining themselves in politics, then you have difficulties, because a republic has got its own attributes. And there are also very good attributes that complement. The white paper says these two leadership can complement each other. And if each and every one of these were playing their role properly. You know, the ceremonial role is a very important, significant role. But when you raise it, they feel offended. They say, you want us to do ceremonial. And there are those, I mean, the Queen in England, she plays the ceremonial role very, very effectively. And that keeps the Queen to have high moral ground over, you know, the other people and, you know, that sort of thing. So it is, as Honorable Dube has indicated, that we need to guide these institutions. There are those good attributes that we think that if they are done well. You remember in the past I've said, I see five roles for traditional. One is a facilitative role to facilitate, for example, if home affairs or something like that, the issues of ID, the traditional councils, they have records and so to facilitate it. And then supportive during the IDP processes. They want to support the municipalities, not to take over the function of the municipalities. The third role is advisory role on customer-related issues, not on political issues. And the fourth role is dispute resolution that we've just talked about. And the fifth role is ceremonial role. And I can tell you, if they were dedicating all their energies in this regard, what is happening today, we are seeing horrible things happening, people killing each other, people slaughtering children, abusing women. If you go back to Ubuntu philosophy used to say, Umuntu, Umuntu, Mabaya Mana. And Ubuntu philosophy used to say, you don't have orphans. We never have dead street children, orphans, because we used to cater for those children. If they took those good attributes and focus on those areas and so on, there wouldn't be tension at local government level and so on. So I think as they redefine themselves, because it's important, not other people redefining them, you know, they want to be able to redefine themselves. Even the amendment on Chapter 7, or Section, what, Chapter 7? Chapter 12 of the Constitution. They want to define themselves to say, how do they see their role there? And how do they see it and so on? Because as we present it here, it says there must be amendment of Chapter 12. There must be amendment of Chapter 7 and so on. And how do we go about amending that? And those kinds of things. So I think we have taken a note of the input. As we continue with the next level of dialogue, we'll definitely raise those issues to say, how do they, you know, in a democratic state, how do they see their role? In the local government space there, how do they see their role? And if we make an assessment over the past couple of years, and we say, what are those things that we found working and those that we found not working? One example, there are local houses, the different structures we have, the national house, provincial houses, local houses, and the traditional council. Now, Eastern Cape has not established the local house over the years. Now, the question would be, have they been able to function without the local house? If they have, if we need it now, what value will it add? And those that had local houses now, the issue that is constantly raised, which is genuine, is that these local houses were promulgated, were established without resources. And so the resources could have been one area of failing those institutions and those kinds of things and so on. Lastly, you will see the traditional and Kwesan leadership bill no longer has governance in it. The framework act had governance. It was traditional leadership and governance framework. And that governance aspect, as we grappled with these issues, we're saying, no, they are not governance. They are not governing in that space. And so it is Chairperson, just our submission there.
Thank you very much, DG, and I think we must have a workshop amongst ourselves, DG, like the portfolio committee and the department that deal with traditional affairs, have a discussion. We know that this resolution, as they come from the inner, Indaba was not your Indaba, the Makos Indaba, they will write whatever they think is appropriate for them. And then it's kept shut now. It would be the duty then of the leadership to refine them. Which one is the meeting, which one or not, and then we go back to them and have a discussion. Because it was the beginning of a long process. It's not going to take us back to 2 months to resolve some of the issues. It'll take us years and years. I hope that will be 100 years anyway. Because you can compare men of the kingdom everywhere, but there were wars. Some of this traditional leadership were defeated. Because they were defeated, there was no claim for negotiation. The Cromwell in London, all these people, they defeated. And then there was a compromise why the queen should be ceremonial. If they are not defeated, I don't think they will surrender power very easily. In many areas, they were defeated. And then civil war there, for London, defeated some of the king there, they compromised. And then not this one, they got their own views. And therefore, in fact, Mthethwa, it is from the some Mthethwa royal house there. Himself, anyway, when you come to Syria and say, hey, man, you guys go away, you'll be the first one to approach to it. No, I can't. Our grandfathers, all this nonsense. I'm just saying that it's the most difficult thing for them to accept that they must change. Unless we meet with them, ensure that we deal with this the road that you are proposing ourselves. Tell them that this is how we think your road should be. And they must also engage us on the basis of semi, because they are scared also to design what is their role when they know very well that generally speaking, in many public hearings, there's negative attitude towards traditional leadership. But mainly because of business interest. Not because of ceremonial role, dispute, all that, because they're involved in business interest, they don't account to anyone. And it's a mental situation. Let alone that there are those anyway who impose the apartheid after 90 years. And then that people still know anyway that this one was not supposed to be a king. This one was imposed. Then those are issues that are there. Historical grievances are there. But I think we should find a way of starting to propose to them. Because if you are drafting a bill to deal with traditional leadership system, some of the issues that you are raising, we should start putting them in the bill. One way or another to say that, of course, you remove cabinet. There's some role that they have to play because it would be easy to do that. It's not that that's a duty of the state to do so. We of course have to persuade and engage for it, but it can't be forever. At a certain point, you must say, this is their role in the Republic. And then if you want to go for, if you can go for what is the, what you call him, some referendum, whether people in rural areas, they need them, of course, would be the most difficult one. Because they are in Bizu, it will be difficult to us. Because there are areas where Amakos are very popular because they're doing good there. There are areas when they are rejected completely. And then how do you deal with that thing? I think we must mitigate ourselves, the impact, and try to pull the system. I think the drafters of Constitution, they were just hoping that at a certain point this thing would disappear. And therefore, don't write anything, just leave it there, they will disappear. And then because of the negotiated settlement, surely they want to negotiate and that and get out of it. But now we have them here, we have to pay them one way or another. We must have a clear role for them. We must start saying that as far as we've seen, all our research and engagement all over, these are central roles. And explain really ceremonial roles, because if they don't know, they wouldn't accept something that they think that is just about kissing babies only. They wouldn't accept that because they will understand it in the narrow sense. I think we must start engaging with them. Start proposing this role, remember, when they come, say, but our view is that these are roles that they should be played. Because cabinet can work. It's a wall to wall. And all this thing of fighting cancer, it's about resources. And but also, how do we pay people whose role are not well defined? And then you can't hold them accountable if we just pay them. We don't know exactly what they're supposed to do in terms of the roles. Because they can't go back to what they think we can go back. We are moving forward. Yeah. In fact, anyway, the migration of people to urban areas is much faster than that. And then some of them will remain there with one to a family, and every other to a subject is in Johannesburg. When you go home, you revolt already, then there's no king in Alexander. Don't tell me this nonsense. Yeah. Because unless we assist them also to engage them, I think Professor won't be assisted. We have to have a workshop with them. And we explain our view, why we think they should play this role. Which countries are doing well for them to play this role? What makes them really very popular in society? These are roles that we think they should. And engage them on some issues that is tangible. At the moment, it's theoretical. They are afraid of losing power, and therefore, to develop a mistrust between us and the Amakosi. The main Amakosi. You know their views about this Zinduna and every other person. You must deal with this. Because if you are going to pay Zinduna, you must know what is their role. What is the role? What are the roles, what are the gender issues, what the constitution says, and let us work on that, colleagues, and I think let us find ways to do that. The five areas that we have identified, we should have some workshops and have some discussion. When we meet, of course, Tobejan, this is the role that you should play. Leave all these other things, they don't belong to you, you are not a cop. This is what you should do. I think some of them will accept it anyway.
Yeah.
Some of them will accept it. I don't think we should take them as very homogeneous. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they think alive, they can't do that. They differ. We should start to identify those that are progressive and work with them progressive. You know them very well. And start moving a little bit to the most conservative and start changing. Because if we continue trying to placate them forever, they will revolt against us. Simply revolt because we are placating them. We are not telling them exactly what they should do. And we try to please them. That we are not, won't be please them forever anyway. We must take some decision and request them to do so. I think the core and same leadership feel that we should start working on this issue. That this is what they should do. What is the use of putting a new bill that doesn't even tell them that we expect you to play this role? Because we have time to pray, by the way. Your advisory committee is going to take years. There has to be dispute about who's qualifying to be there, take you another year, 5 years down the line, would have dealt with some of the issues and explaining them. I think we can use the cohesion as a pilot approach. This is how we think leadership must be doing things. And they may perfect it very well, and then it is then to move to other leadership. Because they want authority because they want to collect money. They want to allocate land. They want to do all these things. And then that's why they want authority there. But if you tell them that, but you want what the apartheid created, they'll say no. But they know that was the aspect for them that they benefited out of it. Therefore, they want it back. I think we must deal with this situation sooner for us and move on. I think the good report is a very helpful for us. I want to read on this matter. We must meet somewhere and refine it. Need some workshop, follow-up meeting within the hour. But we will force them, Yamoto, to deal. What is the hour? If we articulate the five professor, whatever your professor said, doctor, we put it there. And then they must then comment on what is their role in this part of the city. But we give them also what we think is their role. And at least we start engaging them. We don't agree on issue, but we start engaging to see a broader story. I don't think also they do visit. I'm not sure that they also undertake some study tour. I'm of course start some study tour, go to areas where we think they are very progressive, can assist them. Even they go to the department with members, some joint things, you know, to go and see. What it is when they see things. And they know that when they come back home, we are giving them. This is the road to take. leave this one, a very difficult for you, and are fighting with councillors for no apparent reason. I think we should do that. And Melham also can prepare some policy view on some of the issues, and then what the role of the traditional is, because we won't get rid of that. The reality that are there, and then we must try to deal with them. We must try to ensure that institutions, professors, is within the constitution of the country, they don't design their own structure that are not covered by the law. I think the report is good for us. Let us plan for what else we want to do when we deal with the foreign friends. Start identifying these roles and telling them that's how we think, and then we can then engage on that. And other policy matters for us. I think we must then identify them. The committee also must know exactly what are the policy matters that need to be taken in order for them to start talking to their parties about the policy issues that are necessary. I think it's important to do so, because you are the one who has been missing full time. Party leadership and other colleagues, staff is also doing other things. Or better members of parliament to start identifying policy gaps. I think that is the duty of a member of parliament to identify policy gaps and say, there are many gaps here. We propose that look at this issue in terms of policies, and then that would also be helpful. I think we are through with the input. Hopefully, number could have all of us come around the school and just to engage with us.
Chair, maybe that's something that we can put onto the program for the next term, for early in the next term, that we have an engagement with the National House of Traditional Leaders, and we unpack their role, and we unpack the so not just the white paper on local government, but also the white paper on traditional affairs, and really try and get to grips with this thing that is everyone's doing this with kind of thing at the moment.
Just to give us enough time to plan to do other work. Yeah, okay, we'll look at it. I think we are through with the meeting. Yes,
Just on a programming matter, Chair, I didn't receive that letter that you promised me about the minister.
About the minister?
Yeah, when are we going to summon the minister?
Well, the minister could be invited. Chair, I guess that you only summon people who refuse to come before the...
Well, Chair, could you put it on the program? I want answers on the minister's involvement with Trillion.
Okay. No, the Trillion issue, DG. You know Trillion.
That was a good answer, DG.
Okay. We'll have a meeting and just have a discussion.
Thank you, Chair.
And some of the issues are Trillion. I don't even know what is this Trillion. I always read about Trillion. It seems Melham got more detailed information about Trillion. Okay, now thank you very much. We hope that you then Sunday, you are still going, huh? Because I realized that you didn't apply for the last time.
That's a small point I wanted to check. Seeing that we are presenting these resolutions, they have got far-reaching implications on the bill that is currently before. You've raised the point that, this bill, this is the opportunity of ensuring that certain things are clarified, if it was possible.
Well, we should look at that way, but we should also delay what has been happening, because that's a community that is expected this day to move on. I just think that, Professor, we need to have ourselves time. After this bill is passed, just to have this discussion about Amakos, and then we speed up other things to override some of the existing things. I think because we need real engagement on this issue. Maybe we shouldn't delay them now, because it's almost towards the end. And we conclude that one, and we have discussion about the future roles. All of them are traditional leaders. and then we close the shops on that area. But my view always is that Baptuga, we must take decisions. It's what we think we should do. Go and look at it. If they come back, they don't know what to do. We must tell them what they should do. Because otherwise, we waste a lot of time. Of course, I know that was a one vote. Anyway, it's one course voting. Baptuga, I know that we're in course. But it's true that you are only one. Because sometimes people don't want you anyway. They will vote even if you say they mustn't vote. But the point that we should address after that process, let us think through what is the process. Let us finalize this one, close it, call and friends, start participating fully. And then we, through white papers and other areas, start discussing this thing. Maybe in next term, when members come, there's a new bill that is proposed. That will go, because we have to be thorough. Close this chapter 12 completely. Ensure that they've got a positive role to play. Because the more we leave them in this limbo, they will grab power. I think they're grabbing already in many areas. Because there are many gaps, we must start closing on that one. And then we will invite them.
I think TBG, you always communicate to the minister, the last deal with them. Not what is trivial. But you may have, I think, read in their face for someone. Thank you for listening to this area. I hope that funding will still go there. Some department people always accompany us. Berenberg, I think, was on Monday. Let us move on that way. Thank you. Thank you for that. There are very lot of issues that I think. There are issues that yesterday we raised about the amendment that we proposed. And taking the point that when I was making my changes, that should be part of that should be the information after we have visited the and start and close that door. One way or another, we need your person to be around to ensure that these clauses, these proposals, correctly placed in terms of the entire thing. But to ensure that it's only in general yesterday, we accepted that it's a good way to clarify the other issues. And then it's important that you indicate what the bill and what you put in, what you don't put in, for members to know. When you go close to close, it's always useful. Some the right is right, some the fault is right. It's very clear. The original is what you are putting in. Otherwise, the parliament wouldn't know. And they pass something that they don't even have a tool. That's a lump there. We call them confusion. But they thank you very much for that. We'll need something for the discussion. Honorable members, I think there are good ways for other meetings that may have a problem. The agenda is one item.
Your prayers.
I can bless them now. But I need to do this.
All right.
Okay. At least it's a very good thing. I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
So I can just keep our
Okay.